God willing, getting through Hey Emmet Aleph. We were talking about, Ula trying to learn a lesson from the case of Motzi Shemra. Right? We had one version of what Ula was trying to get out of Motzi Shemra, and then we had a second version. The second version was that he was trying to teach that just like with Motzi Shemra, there are malkos for lav shem bo ma'isa. Remember Motzi Shemra, the case of the guy who gets married to a woman with the understanding that she's never been with a man. Then he claims that he discovers she has been between Kiddushin and Nisuin, and therefore she's subject to a death penalty. And turns out he's lying. So we said that he's going to get, well, a few things he's going to get, but one of them he's going to get is malkos, even though there's no deed. He didn't actually do anything as a physical action. It was all speech. So Ula says we can extrapolate from there that there are malkos for a lav shein bo ma'isa. A person can get malkos even though there was no deed involved. So we ended up saying, yeah, but this the case of Motzi Shemra has a unique aspect to it. And if you take a look at the sheet, I gave you a table. Motzi Shemra, it's true, has no action involved, no deed. And yes, it has malkos. However, it's malkos and he also has to pay. So maybe you can't extrapolate from here to all cases of lav shein bo ma'isa, because mostly a lav shein bo ma'isa does not have malkos and payment. That's unique. So don't extrapolate from there. So the Gemara said, okay, fine, we won't extrapolate from there alone, but we can extrapolate from Edim Zomamin. Edim Zomamin also no action, and yet they get malkos. To which he said, because Edim Zomamin also has a unique stringency, specifically the fact that you get the punishment even without having any warning. So therefore that's stricter also. And the Gemara then concluded by saying, okay, fine, however, you could extrapolate from both together. Because that which is strict about Motzi Shemra is not strict about Zomamin, and vice versa. Edim Zomamin does not have malkos and money. Motzi Shemra does not have malkos without a warning. So therefore, we could combine them and say what's the real common denominator here is lav shein bo ma'isa and malkos. That was the argument that we wanted to bring last time. So the Gemara had, if you take a look, I'm trying to remember where exactly we got up to, but we'll go back a little bit, and that way we won't have a problem. Fine. Yeah, fourth of the wide lines, right? Malahat zara shava shabahen. You see that? So the Gemara says, malahat zara shava shabahen shekein knas. They're still unique. They're still strict. They still have something about them that doesn't apply to a lav shein bo ma'isa in general, which is that they're cases of paying a fine. They're not restitution. They're fines. Fines are unique. So therefore, I would argue you can't extrapolate from them. So the Gemara says, Halo kasha, that's no problem. Rabbi Yehuda lo sabar lak Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda did not agree with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that Edim Zomamin is a knas, is a fine. However, not everybody agreed with him. They said, no, it's actually considered restitution, even though it's, you know, we pointed out it's difficult to say that. Nonetheless, that's their position. Ella mala hatzara shava shebahen shekein yesh bahen tzad chamur. Okay, fine, that's true. Nonetheless, each of them still has a stringency over other things, even if the stringency is not in common with the other one. At the end of the day, Edim Zomamin is stricter than most losa assays. Motzi Shemra is stricter than most losa assays. Even if they don't share the same stringency, there's something that bumps them up over other things and shows that we take that more seriously. To which the Gemara said, "Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda tzad chamer lo parich." Rabbi Yehuda did not consider that a legitimate challenge. He said, "Okay, I'm good with that, as long as they don't have the same area that bumps them up." So Tosfos Ella asks a question. Tosfos asks the regarding this tzad hashave that we're drawing. It's Tosfos. Yeah, Ella. It's about 10 lines down in the wider lines in Tosfos. Ella mala tzad hashave shabahen shekein yesh bahen tzad chamur. He says, Ze ein tzarech hasra, veze loku mishalim. Right, this one doesn't get a warning, and yet he gets malkos. This one gets malkos even though he's paying. That's what they said. But then he asks, v'tema da ein ze pircha shava. He says, what are you asking when you ask? Well, each of them has a stringency that others don't have. He doesn't accept the premise. He says, at the end of the day, they're different. Their stringencies are fundamentally different from each other. There's no such thing. Essentially, he's agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. He says, there's no such thing as saying, well, this has a stringency and this has a stringency, and therefore we can't extrapolate from them. He doesn't buy it.
Not
so,
even the blue car example you gave.
Not even the car example that I gave. No, mm-hmm. he doesn't like it. What am I supposed to do? So Tosus brings two answers. One answer from the Ri, another one that's a generic Bala Tosfos. The answer first that he brings from the Ri is to say that it doesn't matter, essentially reiterating the Gemara's assertion and saying, yes, but their unique stringencies make them entirely different from other cases of Malkos, which sounds like it's just reaffirming what the Gemara's premise was. But then he says, what makes these really something, what really sets them as a category unto themselves is the fact that they both have punishments for speech. Both of them are punishments for speech specifically. So that's another answer. What I really liked was what the Ritva did. If it was just from those two answers from the Tosas, I wouldn't necessarily have brought it. But take a look on your sheet at source base with what the Ritva does here. He offers two other answers. The first answer, okay. The second answer is interesting. He says, Umori hara'a zal. Okay, my Rebbe, the Ritva's Rebbe, is the Ra'a, Rav Aaron Halevi. Rav Aaron Halevi is most famous for? What book did he not write? I mean, probably many, but but it was assumed for a very long time that the Sefer HaChinuch was Rav Aaron Halevi. Then research was done to say, well, probably not. But like based on, it was for a very long time, like centuries. Sefer HaChinuch is anonymous. So for centuries, it was thought to be Rav Aaron Halevi. So the Ritva says, my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Halevi, non-author of the Sefer HaChinuch, Haimafarish, he explained, the Lopar Chinan Sad Chamor Ella Kisha Chumros Hain Be Iker Oso Davar Sha'anuban Lil Mod Mehen. He says, we only say, well, this is stricter than other things, and therefore you can't extrapolate, when the stringency is about the essential thing that we are trying to learn from them. In other words, if the, to use the blue car example, right? If I said to you, this car is always going to whatever defect I mentioned, it roars when you try to start it or whatever it is, and I'm going to say, well, you can't extrapolate from there because it's blue. Those two things have nothing to do with each other. Where we challenge it and say, you can't extrapolate from this case because this case has unique stringency is where the stringency has something to do with that which is at hand, that which we're trying to extrapolate. Kigon Bekan, like here. Shanuboyan Lil Mod Leinyan Hamalkos. We're trying to extrapolate that there are Malkos for a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Umotzi Shemra Chomor Shaloka Umishalim. Umotzi Shemra is more Chomor because you get Malkos and you pay. So the stringency relates to Malkos. Adam Zoman also Shaloka below Hasra. The fact that there's Malkos without getting a warning. So that's why this makes sense. Even though normally you'd be right. You would say normally these two stringencies are not like each other and therefore don't call this a set. Nonetheless, they're both related to Malkos and that's why we call it a set. And then he says, Ra'isi laharav Rabbeinu Meir Zal ha'Ashkenazi. Right, the Ritva talking. So he says, Rabbeinu Meir Zal, the Ashkenazi. The Ritva's in Spain. The Shekasav, Davar Chamur, Hainu Mishum, Dezinin de Be'edim Zom, and Ika Chumra de Motzi Shemra Lios Loke Umishalim. He says, no. It's because you could actually wrap up these two cases together. Edim Zoman and Motzi Shemra to get Malkos and to pay. What do you mean? Kigon. Sheheyed al ha'adam shahotzi Shemra. The witnesses testified that somebody was Motzi Shemra. So now they turn out to be Zoman and now they will get Malkos and Tashlumen. So that's how they can end up being together. I thought that was a creative approach. They could
even
actually
Zoman
be
about
Motzi Shemra. Once you do that, you could then lump together Edom Zoman with everything.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a very interesting answer. Okay. In any case, that's just conclusion from last week. Let's go ahead with some new material. We have to understand the view of the Chachamim. In the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah was what we saw back on the bottom of Daled Amud Aleph. In the second half of the Mishnah, we said if witnesses testify that somebody is Chayav Malkos, right? Somebody is supposed to get lashed for some crime that he committed. And they turn out to be Zomin. So the Tanakhama, Rabbi Meir, says they get 80 lashes. 40 lashes for false testimony, Losana Barachai Shaker, and 40 lashes Kasher Zaman, because that's what they tried to do to this guy. And the Chachamim said, no, he's only getting 40 lashes. So we want to know is, why is it that the Chachamim said that they only get 40, that they don't get for Losana? That's what the Gemara wants to know. Why don't you agree with that? So we are the fourth line from the bottom end of the line. V'rabbanan hay lo sana b'recha eid shaker maydar shibe. What do the Chachamim do with lo sana if not to give this guy a second set of malkos, this fellow who tried to do this? Remember, back on Beis Amud Beis, Tosus makes this point. Back on Beis Amud Beis, we said lo sana is a lav she'en bo maisa. There's no deed. But then we said, doesn't matter, we're still going to be willing to give you Malkos because of the Tzdiku es HaTzadik, V'Yeshu es HaRasha, V'Hayam bin HaKos HaRasha. We saw that back on Beis Amud Beis. I'm not going to go through that entire sugya. But the point is, we've now restored the idea that Losana says you get Malkos for Edim Zomim. So what's wrong with the Chachamim? Why don't the Chachamim agree? What do they do with Losana? The answer is, it is a pasuk to teach me an azhara. What in the world are you talking about? So we have a principle in the Gemara, and Rashi mentions it here. The rule is, kol onshin shebatorah, all of the punishments that are found in the Torah, the rule is, ein onshin ela im kein mazhirin. There is no punishment that can be carried out unless there is also a warning, meaning that the Torah has to tell you, number one, what the punishment is that you'll get. So the Torah has to say at some point, explicitly or perhaps by exegesis sometimes, you do this, you're getting fill in the blank. And number two, it has to have a separate time when the Torah says, don't do the Avera. Yes, exactly. The Arayos are listed in Achrimos and again repeated in Kedoshim. The rule is the Torah has to present the Isser, and it also has to present a witness or with the punishment, and it also has to say, hey, don't do that. That's the rule. Why not? Why can't the Torah just tell it once? Why do we require this? They teach you the rule in Yeshiva when you learn the Gemara, and they never explain why. The answer is because God said so, but still, like, why? So Sefer HaChinuch gives a very interesting approach. If you take a look at Source Gimel, and this goes back to something I think I may have mentioned in an earlier shiur at one point. I'll say it outside first. It's the parking, parking in an illegal spot or parking overtime in the spot. That question: if a person parks in a spot where it says only 2-hour parking, right? And he goes inside where he's going and he realizes it's 2 hours and says, look, you know what? I need to be here right now. I don't have time to go out and move my car. It's going to cost me, fill in the blank, whatever the fine is, so I'll pay the fine. That's all. Right? A person says that. Did they do anything wrong? And they will. Like, they're going to get the ticket and they'll pay the fine. Have they done anything wrong?
Well, I guess the point of the 2-hour parking is to allow somebody else to park if they need it. Maybe that's you're taking away that opportunity for somebody else to park.
So you say it's no. You're saying it's an ethically wrong thing to do. What's the other way to look at it?
You paid for it.
You're renting it. They have a policy. Your first 2 hours rent is free. You want to stay more than 2 hours. Okay, so now you have to start to pay. Right? That's the other way to look at it. There's a classic machlokas in Nezikin, in laws of damages overall, right? They, I want to go, take my my 4x4 and I want to go over somebody's yard in order to get where I need to go. I'm going to damage the guy's yard. All right, so I'll pay for it. So is that, did I do anything wrong? Or is it just, no, this is, this is what you have to pay if you do such a thing. So that's...
But that's not true restitution.
What do you mean? Because I have to pay him.
He has a hassle, he has to deal with it.
So let's say my payment includes that. My payment includes that.
You're not positive that they're actually going to come and give you the ticket, and therefore you aren't paying restitution because you haven't been...
Well, that's their business if they choose the ticket.
But they're willing to pay.
But Zika is different. Zika, we say pater al oser in a lot of cases. Even if it's grandma and your pater from paying, it's still oser, right?
Yeah, but the question is, where do you know that from? Where does that come from? So Sefer HaChinuch says this is that's what we're supposed to learn here. Take a look at Gimel. He says, "Vezeu shiyomu raboseinu zal tamid onesh shamanu az hara minayin." He says, this is what the rabbis mean when they say in the Gemara quite a few places, we understand from this pasuk that there's a penalty if you do this wrong. But how do I know the azhara? Where is the straight prohibition of don't do X? If God wouldn't say don't do it, and he only said, if you do it, then you get this penalty. It would indicate that a person would have the right to say, okay, so I'll accept the punishment. That's my feeling. And I'm not opposing God in any way, shape, or form. God said, if you want to do action plony, then there's an admission fee. That's all.
Wait a second, but if you're calling it a knas,
yeah,
that's not the same as restitution. Restitution, okay, that doesn't sound like anything, but you're calling it a knas, that means...
That's a term that we throw on it. Torah doesn't use the word knas.
About certain types of payments.
That's us. But this is before you get to us. You're right. But that's because we have the perspective that comes with understanding onesh and azhara. This is before you get to that point. So Zev Rachinuch says, v'yachzor dvar hamitzvah ke'ein mekach u'memkar. He says, what it mean is that the mitzvah is essentially just a commercial transaction. That's all it is. Klomer, as if to say, harotza lasas davar ploni, someone wants to do X, yiten kach v'kach v'yaseyu. So pay this amount and then go do it.
It's like a wild
oh, yiten shichmo lisbol kach v'yaseyu. Or he could turn his shoulder to get lashes and then go do it. Ve'ein hakavana ala mitzvos v'kach. That is not what God had in mind. God, for our own good, kept us from doing certain things. And for certain things, he told us the punishment we'll get right away if we do it. Aside from having violated God's will, which is really the worst. His here, that's what the Gemara means when it says, there's no penalty unless God says to you, don't do it. Klomar lo yodia hakel haonesh habaalinu al havaras hamitzvah elam kein hodiano tchila shiritzona hu shlonasa oso adavar shonesh baalav. If there's a punishment, there has to be a pasuk that says, don't do this. That's the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation for what this is about. So now...
Can't you see al-svara, though? Just al-svara.
Yeah.
You can't have a society where people, especially people that have money, can just go around and just... Right.
Okay,
just strong arm people and
I mean wealth redistribution.
It's not wealth redistribution. That's by choice. You're damaging the guy's
property. Even better,
right, but you're not respecting.
Voluntary.
And then basically the person just could be completely oppressed in every. I'm just saying we do have this idea of svara. Not everything is learned out from.
Yeah, I mean, if this only applied to Ben Alma Chaveros, then you would be then you'd be justified in saying that. But it's also Ben Alma Makoms. So, the Gemara's answer for what the Hakamim do with Losane is they say Losane is your prohibition of don't lie. That's what it's telling the Edom. But now we have a problem because that's only the Hakamim. What about Rabbi Meir? So one line up from the bottom. Rabbi Meir azharal edim zo min menale. How does Rabbi Meir know the law that there's the azhar, I should say, for edim zomen? Rabbi Yirmiya nafkalei mehavahanish arim yishmeu viyirau velo yosifu od The Azhara is when the Torah says that when we punish the Edim Zomamin, those who remain, those who are watching, will hear this. They will fear what they just saw, and they're not going to do it again. So that's the Azhara. Lo Yosifu.
So it's an inherent warning.
Yes.
Everybody.
Correct.
Then why do you have to have Azhara for anything? You're going to execute the guy. People are going to witness the execution.
Yeah.
Ah, so you don't need a special.
I don't need a pasuk there. Right. What? I don't need a pasuk. The punishment is
that's the pasuk.
V'lo Yosifu La'asos Kadavar Hara Hazeh Od. The Rabbanan, now back to the rabbis. So then why did you need to use Losan F-word? Why don't you use this pasuk, right? It's the ping pong game now, so what are you doing? Ha'hum abaya le'la hachraza. No, they use that for hachraza. Meaning what? Take a look at the top Rashi on Hey Amid Aleph. De'amrinam b'sanhedrin be'eluin ha'nechnakin arba'at tzvichim hachraza la'achar shenen shu be'bezdin tzvichin be'zdin la'achriz kach v'kach ne'arag ploni be'bezdin alavera plonis. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when Beis Din is going to carry out a death penalty, they have an obligation to tell everybody in the community, we are going to do such and such. He's getting killed because he did such and such wrong. So that's what you get from Vanishrim Yishma'u V'yira'u V'liyosifu La'aso. So they're going to hear this warning. V'Rabbi Meir, now Rabbi Meir, then how do you know to do that? Hachraza mi Yishma'u V'yira'u Nafka. That comes from Yishma'u V'yira'u. Lo Yosifu Lasos is the Azhara. Yishma'u V'yira'u, they will hear and they will fear, is the part about us doing the warning. And then they don't go back to the Rabbanan and say, what do you do with it? They're done now. Okay. Clear? Good? Okay. New Mishnah. New thought. Mishalshin b'mamon v'ein mishalshin b'makos. So the word l'shalesh is a word that we saw earlier. We saw that back on Gimel Amud Aleph. When we talked about the issue of Edim and dividing up the money. The dividing up the money was here. What was it on Gimel? Already forgetting. It's not good. We had it in... Yeah, we used the phrase... It wasn't B'mamon, it was Mishalshin something.
No, we quoted it.
Oh, well, we're recording this one. Yeah, today, Mishalshin B'mamon, Mishalshin B'makos. Yeah, right, we're recording this. There it is. Okay, good. So I am remembering. Okay, fine. So what it means here, is that we divide up the money that they owe among the Edim. Even though normally a set of Edim is two witnesses, nonetheless, we're presenting it as though there are three witnesses. This is the read of Rashi. There are two ways that we offered to explain it. But one way to read it is to say that we divide up the money they owe among the three of them. Right. So if there are three witnesses, then it's among three. If there are four witnesses, it's among four. But what it means is, in the event that Adam Zoman would have created a liability for somebody for $1,000... and there are two Edim Zomamin, then each one pays 500. We don't say each one pays 1,000. That we do not do. Rashi brought two explanations for the etymology of the word Mishalshin. It was either Lishalesh, meaning to divide it up in thirds among them, or it was that Beis Din acts as a third party, an escrow between them, so to speak, working it out in terms of who's going to have to pay what. It's not a true escrow. They're not holding any money. But in any case, the term is Mishalshin b'mamon, ve'ein Mishalshin b'makos. But we don't do that with makos. So in the event that they did something that warrants makos, they said something that warrants makos for their victim, and then it got turned around on them because they were Edim Zomin, each one gets the full set. Ketzad, as the Mishnah explains, Heidu shu chayv l'chaver masayim zuz v'nim tzu zomamin, if they said he owes 200 zuz, and they turn out to be zomamin, Mishalshin b'nein. So... we'll divide it up among them. If they said he owes 40 lashes and they turn into zomen, each one is going to get 40 lashes. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that? Why would I not divide up the makos also? Amar Abaye. So Abaye explains, Ne'amar Rasha b'chayve malkios. V'ne'amar Rasha b'chayve misos bezdin. This is a gezera shava. The Torah uses the term Rasha regarding people who get Malkos, Vayan bin Akos HaRasha, And the Torah uses the word Rasha as well for people who are going to get executed by Beis Din. Asher hu Rasha Lamus, I think, is probably the Pasuk. Ma lahalan ein misa lamechza. Avkein ein malchus lamechza. Well, when it comes to a death penalty, you can't kill somebody in half. That doesn't work. Either you do the job or you didn't do the job. So too, when it comes to malchus, it can't be partway. There's no such thing as half malchus. That's one answer. That's Abaye's answer. Rabba gives a different answer. Rabba Amar Ba'inan Kasher Zamam Lasos Li'achiv Veleka. Rabba says, because you have to do to him what he wanted to do to the other guy. If you divide up the Malkos, it's no longer what he tried to do to the other guy. To which the Gemara says, Yachi Mamonam. The same thing is true on the financial end. Yeah, but Mamon Mitzdarev, Malkos Lo Mitzdarev. Money combines, meaning Rashi frames it as restitution. Rashi says, "Vary kibel masha ratzu lahafsido bein kulam." At the end of the day, the guy got the sum of money that he was owed. As opposed to, he was supposed to get 40 lashes. This guy got 20. This guy got 19, or however you divided it up. There is no way in which those combine. He didn't see anybody get what he was supposed to get. That didn't happen. And the experience of 19 and a half lashes is not the same thing as the experience of 39 lashes. That's just not the same thing.
Especially if there are more witnesses.
Yeah, also true. When it could be 13 lashes, it could be, we could do the math. Correct. Okay. New Mishnah. Finally, on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, we get specifics about becoming Edim Zomimin. Right? We spent all this time on other aspects of it. In order for them to become Edim Zomimin, they have to create the Hazama themselves, meaning it has to be in their words about themselves. Ketzad, what does that mean? Amru me'idin anu bi'ish ploni shaharages hanefesh. They said, we testify that so-and-so killed somebody. Amru lahem, other witnesses came along and said, Heyach atem me'idin, how can you testify about that? Sharei ne'rag zeh, o ha'horig zeh, haya imanu oso hayom b'makom ploni. It's not possible, because this victim who you're talking about, or the murderer you're talking about, the alleged murderer you're talking about, was with us on the day that you say it happened in some other area. You say you witnessed Reuven kill Shimon in Chicago on Tuesday, but Shimon, or Reuven, was with us in Hawaii on Tuesday. So, there's no way this happened. Ein elu zomimin. That does not make them zomimin. It may contradict them and disqualify their testimony, but it does not make them into zomimin. Aval amru lahem heyach atem me'idin. But if they said, how could you testify, sharei atem hayisem imanu osayam b'makom ploni, you were with us in Hawaii, the witnesses, then they are Zomin, Venerag, and Alpian, and they can be executed for that. It has to be their words about themselves that get contradicted. Bo Acher, new law, new discussion. Bo Acherim Vihizimum. So what if another set comes along and these Mazimin is the term, these people who said you were with us, right? Knock them out also. Bo acherim behizimum. A third set comes to testify. No, you were with us. Afilu mea kulam yehargu. Even if it's 100, the chachamim say, you can knock them all out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer istitis hizu. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. This is istitis. I'm going to come back to that word in a minute. Ve'eno neharag elakas harishona bilvad. You're not going to carry it out. Only the first set that they contradicted is going to get killed, not everybody else.
At that point, you shouldn't kill the first set either.
So the Gemara is going to ask Eitan's question. So they shouldn't kill anybody. So why are we killing the first set? We're going to come back to that. But in terms of what istitis actually means, so Rashi says it's from the word satya. Satya is like sota. It means to stray. This is a straying set of witnesses. These guys who are saying, you know, everybody was with us in Hawaii that day, they're straying. That's Rashi. Tosfos is not printed on Amud Aleph. Tosfos is printed on Amud Beis. Says istitis comes from the word stis, samach tet yud samach, which is a term for rouge, like for makeup, and what it means is to conceal. They're hiding stuff. this set of witnesses that's claiming to be witnesses anyway. Ramban gives another explanation. I brought it for you in Dalet on the sheet. He says, Zos hakas tzaba'as hi. This set of witnesses here are tzaba'as. Literally, they color. Yeah. You'll see what he means. She tzovas es ha'aretz bidam ka'adam she'tzaveya bistis v'kotza. They are coloring the ground with blood, like a person who is coloring using this dye. They're shedding blood. So all of these are coming down to the same thing, which is, if these two guys are just telling us, they were with us, forget it, ignore them. Except kill the first set.
Two or three, like, where do you draw the line?
So it doesn't say.
Somewhere between 100.
The difference is the first ones are saying that the witnesses to the actual murder, it's not possible because you were with us. Nobody else is testifying about the witnesses to the actual murder. They're just testifying about the witnesses who were impeaching the witnesses, who saw the actual murder.
No, it's the same people.
No. What's happening is set A comes in and says,
right,
we saw this murder.
Right.
These two guys, the istatist set, say, set A, you were with us in Hawaii.
That's right.
Set B comes in to testify to the murder. And then again, they say, istatist says, you were with us. Yeah, correct.
Oh, okay. So it's not a situation where they're saying the Zomamin, you couldn't have been with the guy,
right,
the other Zomamin that you're saying were with you, because the other one, because you were with us and we weren't with those.
No.
That's different.
Yeah.
Okay. I got confused.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's the Mishnah. The Gemara is, well, you'll see. But the Gemara goes back to the first half of the Mishnah, which talks about the idea that your hazama has to be self-related. It has to be like you're plotting against yourself, essentially. And it gives us two ways to know that. Minahani Mili, how do you know that in order to become Edom Zomin, it has to be you were with us when you say you were witnessing? Amar Rav Ada, Rav Ada gives me the first approach. Da Amar Kra to Pasuk. V'hine eid sheker ha'ed, sheker ana, the closing word would be be'achiv. Behold, this person is a false witness. He declared something false. So, ad shetashaker gufa shel edus. It has to be that the gufa shel edus, which means the witnesses themselves, are the lie. It's not a lie about Reuven was in Chicago. It's not a lie about Shimon was in Chicago. It's a lie about you were in Chicago to actually see Reuven kill Shimon. That's the idea. Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tan, which, by the way, when you think about it, what it means is you could actually have a case in which the murder really happened, but they were lying about having witnessed it. Right? We were there. We saw you. No, you didn't see anything. It could be it happened, but you're not testifying to that effect. Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tan. They learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, La'anos bo sarah, the Torah says. This is part of that same passage about the Edom Zomamin. They testify La'anos bo Sarah to declare about him Sarah, something smelly is literally the meaning of Sarah. But Ad Shetesra Gufa Shel Edus, we're taking it to mean Sarah here to remove, as Rashi explains it. Lahasir. So when the Edom themselves are removed. You weren't where you say this thing took place when you say this thing took place. So that's, we get it from two different psukim, one via Rav Ada, one via the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. So we're declaring, actually, the Rashi frames Sarah is you are saying something that strays. That's Rashi's way to read it. Okay. So now we get three statements from Rava, and that's going to take us to the end of the Amud. Three statements regarding the language of Hazama. Amar Rava, Bo Shnayim Va'omru. Two witnesses show up and they say, B'mizrach Bira Harag Ploni Es Hanefesh. On the east side of the building, so-and-so committed murder. Ubo Shnayim Va'omru, V'halo B'marav Bira Imanu Ayisem. Two other witnesses show up and say, what do you mean? You were with us on the west side of it. Chazinan, so we examine. If you could see from the west side to the east side, Einelu Zomamin. Then they're not Zomamin. They just had good vision. Vim lav, but otherwise, Hare Elu Zomamin. Then they are Zomamin. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Well, that's obvious, right? Why it's like, you know, my cousin Vinny or one of those cases, right? Where they get, you couldn't have seen that. So, Mau Disema, Lechosh Lenahara Barya. So he says, we're not doing imitations now.
Okay. I can do the whole movie if you want.
So where is it, Pshita? Isn't it obvious? Mau Disema, Lechosh Lenahara Barya. Yeah, but I might have been concerned that even if normally you can't see from the west side to the east side, maybe there was extra clear light that day, and therefore he was able to see. Kamash Malan, teaching us that it's not true. That's what Rava was teaching me, that it's not so. We don't worry about whether they could have seen something, you know, with especially strong light, strong vision, whatever. That's not so. Rashi seems to be working with the old theory of how seeing works. As Rashi says, when it says strong light or clear light, it means clear vision. There was an idea historically, all the Greeks believed it, and it was for a surprisingly long time a theory of how you see, that light emerges from your eyes. It's like radar. Light emerges from your eyes and bounces off things, and that's how you are able to perceive them. Yeah. So that's the first. That's the first statement of Rava. Second statement of Rava. Ve'amar Rava, bo shnayim va'omru. Two witnesses come along and they say, besura b'tzafra b'chad b'shabsa chazar ploni es hanefesh. They say in sura, on Sunday morning, so and so killed somebody. Ubo shnayim va'omru b'panya b'chad b'shabsa imanu ayisem b'neherda. Two witnesses come along and say, you were with us that evening in Nerda. So, Chazinan, we look. If you can get from Surah to Nerda in a day's time, lo avu zomen, so they're not zomen. They saw it and then they traveled. Ve'ilav, and otherwise, if you can't make it, havu zomen, then they're zomen. So the Gemara again says, pshita, I knew that. Mao desema lechosh legamla pircha. No, because maybe they had a really fast camel, literally a flying camel. They kamash malan, and it's teaching me that I'm not concerned about the flying camel. That's the idea.
Both those hasmin is a little crazy because you'd end up killing the defendants, right?
Yeah.
So we say we're choshish for flying camels, and therefore we're not going to make them zomim, and therefore.
And therefore, this guy dies.
Die. Right, yeah.
Well, someone's going to die.
Right, I guess. We're coaches for this very rare thing.
You're playing probabilities.
Right, saving
right. The odds of the pizza sederach here are, you know, like a Yaakov situation. Kind of low.
Well, or just a really fast camel. I mean, right. I don't know, there are slower camels, there are faster camels. Right. You know, your grits cook faster than everybody else's grits, or whatever it is.
I mean, like, by some miracle, they were able to make it that day. Maybe they meant the airplane that day.
So there is a Gemara in Yevamos though, which creates a problem for this. Take a look on your sheet at source Hay. Hahu Gita de Ishtakach Besura. There was a get that was found in Sura. You see it? Okay, get was found in Sura. Ukase Behachi, and it says the following: Besura Masa in the city of Sura. Anan Barchia Neherda. Patris Vesarchis Plonis Intasi. I, Anan Barchia from the city of Neherda, divorced my wife. Ubadka Rabbana Misura Vad Neherda. The rabbi is investigated from Sura to Neherda. Velohava Anan Barchia Acharina. There was no other person named Anan Barchia. Levar me Anan Barchia me Chagra. Except there was one other Anan Barchia from Chagra. Dehava Beneherda. And he was in Neherda. Va'asu sahadi va'omer dehahu yoma, ki ichta vahu gita, anan barchia mechagra gabon hava. And witnesses came along and said, yeah, this other Anan was actually in Neherda that day. And therefore, maybe he wrote it. It's not this other guy who wrote it. So Amar Abaye, Abaye said, af lididi, they found a get. The get has the name Anan Barchia Neherda. Right. Neherda there is
an identifier.
Correct. This is an identifier.
Yeah, I mean Neherda that way.
Thanks. Yeah. So the get says Anan Barchia of Neherda, but you have another Anan Barchia from Chagra who happens to live now in Neherda, and he was there that day. So now the question is, do we accept the get or we disqualify the get? That's our problem. So Amar Abaye, Afla Didida Amina Chayshinan. Abaye says, even within my view, that I am normally worried, and I added in brackets words to explain, that we are normally worried that there are two people by the same name. Hacha lo chayshinan. Here we are not worried that this guy arrived in Surah and wrote the get. Sorry, right, the get was in Surah. I skipped that point. That matters. So we don't worry that this guy, Anan Barchia of Chagra, was actually in Surah to write it. Because the witnesses said he was in Nerda that day. My brother is Surah. What would he be doing in Surah? So therefore, the assumption is this get is kosher. Amar Rava, af ledidi delo chayshinan, even within my view that we normally are not worried that there might be two people by that name. Hacha chayshinan, here we are worried. Dilmag begamla percha azel. Maybe he went on a really fast donkey. Inami bekathitza, or by leaping, whatever that means. Inami mili maser, or he got a shaliach to do it for him, which is the most credible out of all of these. But that's what the Gemara there says. So look at Rava there. Rava here said, in the get case, I am worried about the flying camel. But in our Gemara, Rava said, I am not worried about the flying camel. So what's going on? Why is Rava contradicting himself? So I'll tell you quickly because we're running low on time. Tosus in Yevamos brings, and I brought it on the... No, I didn't bring the Tosus. Yeah, I did bring the Tosus. But I'll say it outside. The Rabbeinu Tam in Tosus there offers the following answer. He says, in the get case, we're worried that somebody, this other Anan Barchia, is trying to mess up the first Anan Barchia's marriage. And he dafka used a fast camel because he wanted to make sure that he would be seen in one place that day, and then he raced there in order to, take care of this get, and no one would ever suspect it was him. So if there really was a plot, it makes sense that he used a fast camel, says Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is a mystery writer. It makes sense that he would have dafka done it. As in our case, it's the other way around. If there's a fast camel, it actually makes things worse for them. Not better for them, right? In the case of the Mazimin and the Zomimin, a fast camel would actually make things worse because it would make them look like liars, right? In other words, they're saying that this happened and they were in one place, but they really got there somehow. Like it's that actually works against them for them to do that. That's the first answer. Rabbeinu Menachem says that the reason why we don't go that route is because the defendant and the witnesses didn't offer it. In the get case, we are responsible to figure out, is this get kosher or not? But in the case of the murder, we say this murder took place, over there, right, in Surah, in Neherda, wherever. So the defendant should have been the one to say, but wait a minute, maybe there was a fast camel. The defendant didn't say it. We're not going to say it on his behalf. That's Rabbeinu Menachem's argument. Ramban rejects that, because Ramban says we have a mitzvah v'itzilu ha'eda. The edim, the dayanim have a responsibility to save the defendant. That's a halacha in death penalty cases. So therefore, we would make the claim on their behalf. So Ramban gives another answer. He says the answer is because in the get case, we have a document with a signature on it. So therefore, we have reason to accept it. Here, we don't have that. That's the difference. Okay, good. So we're up to...
How does Abaye... why would Abaye be concerned that the guy is trying to sabotage the...
Because he just says it's unlikely. He says Gamla Perich is unlikely. It's Rabba who's the problem, because in one Gemara he says it isn't,
in
one Gemara he says...
That, but I'm just
Abaye is fine. It's unlikely. That's all.
Did they do hand writing analysis?
There is discussion elsewhere about that and symbols that people wrote and so on. Okay, so we keep up the tradition of not quite finishing the Amud. But we're almost there.